Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts on Recovery, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic skyline of Buckhead. This is the type of day that made the South the Bible Belt, because we like to say down here, if hell is this hot, you don't want to go. That being the case, we want to talk about the other area of life, and that is for those of you who already have a relationship with Christ and how it can become more vibrant, more real, more alive, how you can understand reality, and that reality is what God says it is and nothing else. To help us on our journey, as we have had for quite a while now and will continue to have, Dr. Robert McGee, the author of The Search for Significance and now its sequel, The Search for Reality, which is on our website at www.mcgeepublishing.com. So without further ado, let me just say, Robert, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. I'm in South Texas today, and it is
South Texas. Now, as I remember, that's Houston. And
correct.
Houston in August is where you can take a shower and never dry off.
Yep, that's the size of it. Yep.
Of all of the cities in America, Houston's a great place, and there are no cities in Texas that aren't good places. And I got
that's
my
right.
master's degree in Waco, and I remember when I was in graduate school there, I would run 6 miles a day and just drink to just try and get stuff fluids back in my body, because it was so stressful to go to graduate school. But that year, my first year in Waco, Texas, with 3 young children, they had 100 days of 100-degree weather, and I cannot possibly 100 days of 100-degree weather. And, that also means that in the middle of the night, it cools down a little bit all the way to 95. Any rate, enough of that. How are you, and what are we going to talk about here today?
Well, one of the things I thought we would talk about is the concept of waiting on God and being at rest. Right. One of the things that's happened relatively recently to me in my life has been to see plans blown up, new plans, then they blew up, and on it goes. And pretty soon you begin to wonder, does God have any purpose in this? Right? I don't know. I know if anybody listens to this, they've come to that place of saying, now, God, what are you doing here, right? Why are you doing this to me? And I just recently had one of those times, and then God sort of showed me what he was doing. I just came back from, or just came out of a meeting this week, earlier today, with a person who has solved the puzzle of diabetes and how to make it where the diabetes goes away and does no more harm. And as I sat there, I thought, if some of these plans I had before had not come into fruition, I wouldn't be sitting here, all right? So I'm just saying that to say this. Sometimes when you're just sort of totally just despondent because you just thought God had completed, you know, had told you what to do, he did what he told you, and still hadn't worked out. You hang in there because sometimes that's how God operates, and we end up having to wait. I mean, God really loves to watch us wait. I mean, just, we have to just be honest about it.
It seems to me, Robert, that we have to wait longer by sometimes multiples than we want to or than we think is necessary. Now, our timing is always a shortened version of what God says. I mean, I've never seen it work any differently. Now, I suppose it could. He can do whatever he wants, but you mentioned about entering God's rest. I'm going to bring up a conversation I had with somebody I like very much yesterday. And she said, I am so ready for the Lord to come back and to just end all of this stuff and, you know, make everything right. And I believe that most of our listeners have this idea that, you know, the end's imminent and really there's no need to do anything else. And so, yeah, let's enter God's rest. And entering God's rest to them means inactivity and throwing in the towel, kind of admitting defeat in the world, just saying, you know, clearly the forces of darkness have triumphed over, you know, the children of light, and, you know, the hell with it, I'm done with it. And that is how they feel. That's exactly how they feel. And that can't be right, can it?
No, they confuse God's rest with going to sleep and taking a nap. And the two are not the same. God's rest is typically a very active, conscious awareness of what's going on, but being at peace in your mind. In fact, it's sort of an interesting deal. God has a very definitive point of view of what is an evil mind. Let me say it again. What is an evil mind? An evil mind is a mind that is just continuously trying to figure things out, trying to come up with answers. That's what God calls an evil mind. Now, for many of us, we call that normal. And that's unfortunate. But if you can imagine, it's sort of like trying to hold a cat that gets really scared. That cat is just absolutely bouncing around, pushing off. When you go, all you're trying to do is comfort the cat. And that's how we are with God. God wants us to relax and allow him to deal with what we're going through. Number one, for us to deal with what we're going through, we have had to determine that we know more than God knows. Because obviously it's up to us to come up with a solution, not God. And of course, that's just craziness. And so what God is talking about is our being at peace in him. Now, sometimes it doesn't look like there's any way possible for situations to work out for our benefit. And so we get very anxious and very active in our thoughts, and we begin to try to figure out, well, when that doesn't work out, then I'm going to do this over here, and maybe that will work out. But if that doesn't work out, I'll do plan three. And so we come up with all this gyration, and all of it, according to God, is that it's evil. Not just a waste of our time, not just an irritation for us, but evil in the sense that it is destructive to us. So,
all right, let's say, give me a scripture verse on that, because people are going to ask, what is the, what were, you know, that God calls that evil? Where, biblically, where does that come from?
It's called an evil mind, is what it's called.
I'll have to look that up. I'm in my car, sitting out in front of a strip mall, hoping to have enough gas to keep my air conditioner going.
But not worried about it. Just kidding.
I get it. Stacy's with us. Stacy, while we're talking about this, look up that Bible verse so that you can give it to us when you in just a minute, if you don't mind. Because she's where she can do that. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah. Well, Joseph Prince brought this up in one of his teachings a few weeks ago. And I didn't know that there was such thing as an evil mind. And then he went into the original languages and showed that it was a mind that was continuously active, trying to figure things out, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyhow.
I don't know anybody, any believer, then, who doesn't qualify for having an evil mind, because that's what we do all the time, is try and figure things out. It's like it isn't just from sundown, you know, sun up to sundown. For most people, it's what keeps them awake at night.
The scripture is Proverbs 12:20. And it says, an evil mind is deceitful, but gentle thoughts bring happiness.
So, the concept is that if we take a look at what God looks for his children to do, it's really not a whole lot different than what we would hope our own children would do, which is, if we tell them something, we're going to take care of them, that they don't stay up late at night trying to figure out, are they really going to do that or not? It sort of indicates we don't believe God when we do that kind of thing. So, anyhow.
You know what, Robert, as you're saying that, I think that's a really good analogy of that, because, I mean, I can remember when I had small children, and they would become worried. I remember one time where something had happened, and they were saying, "Well, how are we gonna pay the rent?" And one of them said, "Daddy, I've got $2 that you can use." And it was really sweet, and one of those tender things that, you know, the parents just love so much. But, you know, clearly, you know, $2 wasn't going to do anything. And yet, she took on the concern that was mine, and, you know, they're all grown, and, you know, we were never homeless, so I don't remember how I took care of it, but I took care of it because that was my job. But she took on, or was trying to take on, what she didn't have the capacity to do, and I think that we do that all the time, and play our little kind of God role of how we want to bring about His will and His purpose and His conclusion. And all of it, we think, you know, okay, I'll accept that is an evil thought. I've never thought about it before as being evil. It's never occurred to me, not one time ever, and I'd be willing to bet you that there isn't anybody who's listening that has thought about it that way either. And, you know, but it's a real check.
Well, I mean, basically what we're doing is we're taking over God's responsibility. In any way you cut it, that's not going to make it, you know? We're not going to get there like that. So, yeah,
it's a very interesting way of looking at it.
And Robert, one of the things, the main things that is addressed in Search for Reality is exposing these thoughts and how God wants us to handle them. And people can reach us at www.mcgeepublishing.com, and that's M-C-G-E-E, or they can call 800-460-4673.
They sure can, and they can call day or night, right, Stacy?
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
We have an answering machine, so you know if Stacy doesn't pick up, you know she'll call you back.
Yes,
that's for sure. But
I'm just kidding, Stacy.
I know.
So here we are, and what you've just said has interrupted the disquietude of everybody who listens to this now or who will listen to the archived message. We've just told them that their thoughts, day and night, and all of the things that they do, worrying about their children, worrying about where they're going to school, worrying about, the husband keeping a job in down economic times, and all of that, and even worrying about, guys, what do you want me to do? I mean, is all of it people are not handling God's rest?
Well, one of the things we do is we don't worry about it so much as long as we can figure out how God could do it, right? But all of a sudden we can figure out, oops, I was counting on that coming through, and oops, that didn't come through, and I wonder how, I don't know if God could do this or not. I don't care what it is that the oops is about. But that's how we come up with that theory, all right? Is we end up, as long as we can figure out how God can do it, as though God needs us to come up with something so he can figure out how to do it. And if we can't figure out how he's going to do it, we come to some silly conclusion that may be in jeopardy now. Now, is that just silliness or what?
That's silliness, yes it is. I mean, I think most people don't. I mean, if you actually discuss it with someone, they will come up with that and realize it. But when it comes to day-to-day life, they don't. That whole area of thought never occurs to them.
Well, one of the things that you can conclude is this, that people cannot be counted on. And if you sit around...
We all know that one. That's not something that we don't know. All of us know that you cannot count on people. By golly, we got that one down. All right, go ahead.
What happens is that we actually think we can. And so we depend on these people, and uh-oh, they didn't come through. And so what are we going to do now? And God just is determined that we not rely upon these people to do what he does. See, the theme of this whole deal is we make lousy gods. We just do. And other people aren't dependable either. I mean, if we think about it, we're not dependable. I mean, I always thought, well, those people aren't dependable. If I'm going to be let down, I'll let myself down. Now, that's a pretty dumb thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just silliness, because I'm not any better than they are. And so what God does is he says, okay, you want to depend on that person to come through for you? All righty. Let's see how this one works out for you. But we never stop to realize that what we did, and pretty much unknowingly we did, was that we decided that we would depend upon somebody who had a plan who we thought, this person has a really pretty good plan, and I think they're going to come through for me, and then they don't. And we go, uh-oh, now what? And we get really freaked out about the whole thing. So I guess the concept is we need to depend on someone who can walk and chew gum at the same time. Someone who can't have too many things that they have to attend to. Now, some of us, Jack, you have to understand, some of us, we start thinking about it and we go, now, let me get this right. How is God looking at those billions of people in India and what they're up to, and me too? And the answer to that is, well, that's what God can do. So the next time we begin to worry, he's got a lot of things to keep track of. We need to remember, well, that's why they call him God. Yeah. And so, therefore, well, now we don't know how he does it. I mean, some people think they actually know how God functions. There's another silly thought, that we, as human beings, can really understand how God functions. Now, that is...
Well, you know, I mean, he's very clear about that. Says, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Well,
and that one's a clear one. And yet we do think that we, you know, have the... I mean, and yet we're striving to have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
If we're striving to have the mind of Christ, we don't have it. So let me take that back. We're desirous of having the mind of Christ. I caught myself on that one because it is true. You can't strive, you know, to do it and achieve it. But you can rest, and that's where being, you know, the pure in heart and see God's will. I mean, they understand that they have the discernment. If their heart's not pure, they don't get it. Or very rarely. I mean, all of us as believers have some things that we know that God has done. It just goes with the package. But some have more understanding and better discernment than others. And I'd like to say that those are the, you know, people that are the strongest will seem to have the least, but you have to have some strong will people. You can't just have, you know, a bunch of wussies running around, which we have now, who aren't willing to stand up for anything. And that's certainly not God's will, but he's very strong.
Well, the kicker is this. Strong-willed people give the illusion of being very strong and very willing. But it's sort of like if you are depending on a twig to hold you up, you may actually find yourself on the ground because of the fact that twig broke on you. And that happens a lot with people because they go, especially, this is, well, I don't know if it's especially true of women or not, but I think it is. They find someone who appears to be real strong, and they, in their mind, they go, he's going to take care of me. Look how strong he is, and look how bright he is, and look at all those great characteristics. And then the calendar shifts. And now she says, what a loser I got here. I thought this guy could, I mean, why can't he be like it was when we first met? I mean, now he can't seem to do anything right. And then
you know,
they were real disappointed.
Yeah,
well,
they were real disappointed. When you're saying
well,
that, I have to be honest with you, it reminds me a little bit of the loss of hope and change that people had, you know, 5 years ago, with the president, and he's a man of integrity and all of that, and now he's, you know, just riddled with scandals, you know, many of them are more to surface, and it's like, you know, this, I've been conned, and there are millions of people who are going to be disillusioned as a result of that, and, you know, could there be a better example of someone, quote, unquote, letting us down?
Yep, I agree.
And Robert, I just want to say this to the people that are listening. The disillusionment is going to, with people, what they're going to do is they're going to numb their pain with alcohol, promiscuity, drugs, prescription drugs, overeating, maybe over-exercising, going to the mall and spending money, running up huge debts with no ability to pay for it. And, you know, and of course, those are all the things that, you know, that we, you know, that we have all these books for and everything to help them with. But, you know, we're really in all of this in a situation that is troubling and going to become dire in the near future. And, but that's all that we're, I mean, those are the things that we're talking about. So, Stacy, real quick, give the website again.
Certainly, it's www.mcgeepublishing.com. That's M-C-G-E-E. And the phone number is 321-446-1816.
And listen, I mean, folks, we've got materials for everything, you know, for people that are hurting. I mean, the world is full of people that are, I mean, there are more Christians that are wounded than not. And the ones that are wounded are the ones that we have, that we're here to help the most. There's some people that are wounded that won't admit that they are. You know, they got more work to do before we can help them, but it really is true. And, you know, Robert, we've got about a minute left. Was there something that you wanted to wrap up with this?
Well, what I would suggest that people do is to ask God and wait on Him and listen for Him to tell you something, because you've already come up with all your solutions, okay?
That makes sense.
And don't try those solutions again. It doesn't matter. All right. Hey, y'all have a good week.
Well, you know, actually, you know, I'm not quite. I mean, I gave myself a little bit more time than I thought. We definitely have people who try and try and try again. And here's the thing, and this is what's the good thing about God. You know what? If you aren't ready to just give up and to just say, you know what, I'm going to listen for what you have to say, you can just go ahead and try one more time. Try it your way one more time. And it won't work. It never works. And, you know, you just continue to get frustrated. And, you know, what is that, you know, the true definition of insanity? Trying the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. Just one more thing. If this stuff about the diabetes is really got you stoked, you need to send me a link, because there'll be people that will probably be asking. And with that, I will just say thank you, Robert. Have a safe trip home. Thanks, Stacy. And for those of you out there, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.